And welcome to episode 4 of How to Get Away with Law, a podcast about the hit ABC show, How to Get Away with Murder. Alrighty, getting closer. Sorry I'm dragging on getting these reviews out. However, once I get up to episode 10, which we are now live as of February 3rd, 2015, we've already had episode 10, but don't worry, I will catch up before episode 11. Alright, let's get into the summary, shall we? Episode 104 is called Let's Get to Scoopin', and this is the summary from the official ABC website. In a flash forward, the students and Rebecca stand around the dead body panicked. Things get more complicated when Asher is heard knocking at the front door. All Connor can think at this very moment is how screwed they are. His pessimism continues as they drive off with the body. When they get down digging in the woods, Connor orders a cowering Michaela to get to scooping as he manically continues to dig himself. 7 weeks earlier, Connor pays a visit to his booty call IT guy, Oliver, who wants them to start acting more like a couple. That discussion gets put on the back burner so the two of them can have sex. This makes Connor late for court, where Annalise fails to convince the judge to see things her way regarding bail. It's $1 million. Rebecca says she didn't kill Lila Stangard. Wes was right. Griffin ended up pinning everything on her. When Annalise questions Wes about what he knows about Rebecca, he doesn't tell her about the cell phone she hid at his place. He's taken off Rebecca's case. As for Annalise's other new client, that would be Marin Trudeau, guest star, Elizabeth Perkins, founder and CEO of a major brokerage firm. She was caught on video having sex with the head of a pharmaceutical company, which happens to be a place where she allegedly bought stock just before a favorable turn of events. This led to a charge of insider trading. On the bright side, Marin looks like she had a good time in that sex tape. She owes it all to Pilates. Marin claims she never bought stock in the pharmaceutical company. Her firm will go under if this thing goes to trial. Annalise needs to find who did the insider trading. The students interview her employees. Connor has a flirty moment with Marin's assistant, Pax. They hook up in the copy room for some office sex. It's all part of Connor's play to catch Pax admitting that he's the one behind the insider trading. Marin can't believe her loyal assistant betrayed her. She's going to make sure that he goes to jail for what he's done. This is more than Pax can take. He sobs that he's sorry before sitting on a window ledge. He plunges to his death off the side of the building. Connor is shaken. Michaela, who had been labeled a shooting star by Frank and Bonnie, is told that the dead assistant who went splat is exactly what they were talking about. Annalise knows that Pax was in cahoots with someone else. Two employees, Jimmy and Talia, are the prime suspects. Now all they have to do is get them to confess. Annalise manages to do just that. Marin leads her loyal employees in a round of applause as her two traitors are escorted away in handcuffs. Connor is one of those observing the scene. In a flash forward, he shows up at Oliver's door. Connor is frantic. He sobs that he screwed up. In the past, Oliver learns what Connor did with Pax. He kicks him out of his place. Laurel's boyfriend, Con, is called to help the students figure out a way to get Rebecca out of jail. Frank tells the guy to hit the bricks. In other news, Nate is able to convince Sam that he was just out for a night run when he's almost caught snooping around his car. Bonnie covertly sits across the street watching. She uses this information to get access to the tape of Rebecca's confession. She tells Nate's sergeant what she knows about his search of Sam's car and of his affair with Annalise. Bonnie brings home the unedited recording of Rebecca's confession. She isn't truthful as to how she got it. The judge rules that video shows Rebecca was coerced. It's enough to get her bail reduced to a reasonable amount. Rebecca is going home. Wes is waiting when she gets there. He wants to know what's on the cell phone she hid. Once he finds out, he shares the information with Annalise. Wes assures his boss that he can handle being the one who has Rebecca's trust. As for Annalise, she's not sure if she'll use the phone info. At the end of a long day, Annalise removes her wig and the other accessories she uses to present herself to the world. Sam gives her a kiss while commenting on how she got Rebecca out of jail. Annalise calmly turns to her husband. She produces the cell phone Wes gave her. She has a question for Sam about the contents found on it. Annalise asks, "Why is your penis on a dead girl's phone?" "Excellent question. The answer will have to wait." Alright, that's the end of the review. Now we'll get into some of my comments. I didn't have a ton of comments, but here we go. First off, Annalise must be putting it on Nate Good for him to be going through all of this trouble for her. I mean, is he in love with her? It's not like they had much of a discussion ever about love, but Nate is just doing any and everything Annalise asks. All she has to do is give him the puppy dog eyes and maybe even cry, and he just does whatever she wants. But Annalise is a powerful woman, an attractive woman, in my opinion, so I don't know what it is. Maybe it is love that they have not admitted, but man, I wish I had somebody that faithful. Now, one of the subjects I wanted to get into is how insider trading works. The term itself sounds pretty easy, but we'll go into a little bit of it and go into some of the scandals and just kind of get more of an idea of what insider trading is. And the definition is the illegal practice of trading on the stock exchange to one's own advantage through having access to confidential information. And this is from Josh Clark on the website How Stuff Works about what is insider trading. People are aware of scandals like Enron's, and the one that landed Martha Stewart in federal prison may be surprised that there are actually two types of insider trading, legal and illegal. Anytime a company executive or employee buys or sells stock in the company that person works for, an inside trade has occurred. It's a common occurrence that happens every day, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, the federal agency charged with regulating stock trading in the United States. The SEC enforces some strict guidelines that create the line between legal and illegal insider trading. The premise is simple. When a person with knowledge that can impact a company's stock price, be it positive or negative, makes a trade based on that knowledge, he or she has engaged in illegal insider trading. The concept is based on fairness. Having information that isn't available to everyone else trading on the market gives the insider, well, an inside advantage. Prior to the SEC's creation in 1934, insider trading was still considered nefarious. It was up to state prosecutors in the superior courts to try insiders accused of unfair trading. Once Congress passed the Securities Exchange Act of 1934, both federal and state prosecutors had a lot more ammunition to convict inside traders. Section 10b-5 of this act defines exactly what constitutes illegal insider trading. Sections 10b-5-1 and 10b-5-2 were expanded in October 2000. They now lay out who can be an insider and under what circumstances illegal trading takes place. Certainly, officers of a corporation are insiders. These high-level employees must fill out a form detailing any trading of their company's stock every time they buy or sell it. Insider status also extends to employees of a company. An employee who learns that their company will announce higher than expected quarterly revenue and purchases shares in their company has just engaged in illegal insider trading. But what if an employee tells his or her spouse about the impending news and the spouse buys some shares? According to the SEC, the spouse is a crook as well. The same goes for friends, bankers, or lawyers contracted by the company in question, even employees of the SEC. Anyone with awareness of material information that's not publicly available can be found guilty of illegal insider trading if that person acts on that information and either dumps or purchases securities. All right, that was actually more detail than I knew. I didn't actually know all of the parties that couldn't do any insider trading, but I guess it makes sense after reading it that you wouldn't want anybody who has any prior knowledge to do any trading. So no one do any insider trading. It's a bad idea. Now moving back on to some of my comments I had for the episode. Marion was understandably upset, but what happened to Pax was horrific. I mean, at first it sounded extreme, but now that I think about it, who wants to go to jail and be punished? Even though they knew sorry for the background noises. I do this at work, and I work for a hospital. Even though I work in the administrative building, there's always still annoying car alarms, there's always ambulances, all sorts of noise, so I apologize for that. Anyway, but, I mean, it just seemed like a really desperate move on Pax's part. I can understand why he did it, but that was pretty jarring, and it actually can tell of the impact of these sorts of things, and how, you know, we often don't want to deal with the consequences of our actions, but when your actions probably send you to jail for a really long time and ruin your future career, well, I guess that's one of the things you would probably think about, but it was quite horrific for me to watch it, and I've watched all these episodes by now, 1 through 9, going on about 3 times, so it's still jarring every time. I absolutely loved how Annalise used Marin's speech for female bonding in the workplace as a supposed deposition from Jimmy and vice versa from Talia. That was a pretty genius plot, I think. I mean, who wants to sit there and read that gigantic stack of paper? But, you know, you'd think they would have glanced at the first page. But I think what really got them fueled is the he said, she said, where Annalise said that, you know, that's not what Jimmy said and that's not what Talia said. But that was pretty darn clever to get a confession. And the lesson and the moral of that story is, read stuff. Kind of important. Bonnie made it a whole lot worse for Nate by getting the confession on DVD from Rebecca. It did help Rebecca, though. I mean, Nate ends up getting fired, and not that I should feel super sorry for him, even though, you know, because he was part of some crimes. Obviously, he got a... Annalise got him to testify a long time ago that one of the cops, basically had the film edited, and he admitted that it wasn't the first time things have been edited for the favor of somebody in the past. So, I mean, he's obviously a crook himself, and he's just doing all of these crazy things for Annalise, but, I mean, it did help Rebecca, so I guess that's the plus to that, huh? And as it was built, there were 9 words from Annalise that would shock us all. Her asking Sam, why is your penis on a dead girl's phone? And, you know, I shouldn't have been surprised, but, well, okay, I'm not sure anybody would have guessed that the reason they hid the phone was because it had Sam's penis on it. I was thinking maybe since Rebecca was into dealing drugs, that might have been their phone that they used to communicate such things, but I wonder why they used, what was it, an iPhone or a Samsung or something like that? It was an expensive phone. That was not a burner phone. So maybe that should have tipped me off that maybe my, what I thought the phone was, wasn't what it was, I guess. You know, it just involved a dead dude's penis. And I like how they show Annalise in makeup and a wig, then show her taking off her face at home. It kind of gives these scenes something intimate, something vulnerable, to show that she has a vulnerable side and that, you know, she may be putting on a face when she goes out, because, I mean, she is, you know, a ball buster. She will do whatever she has to do to win her cases, but at home, you know, everything is starting to fall apart now because they found Sam's penis on a dead girl's phone. So, I mean, of course, as a woman and somebody who's married to somebody that she loves, you know, I mean, this is about as vulnerable as it gets in this situation. And it was a great way to end the episode because you're just thinking, oh man, I want to see what he says to that and what the consequences are. And I hope that in the next episode, they actually talk about, you know, or they just go right after Annalise's question about his penis being on a dead girl's phone so that we see his reaction and how he's going to try to backpedal out of this. All right, guys, well, there we go with the review. Sorry they're going to be short because, like I said, we were catching up. Please go ahead and send in some email, whether you send it in now, in the next week, or whenever. Send in some feedback. You can reach the show at howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com, Twitter at getawaywithlaw, and in Facebook, just go and search How to Get Away with Law and like the fan page. I would love your participation. It's so much better than me talking to a microphone by myself and just rambling on and on. I would love to hear from some fans, so go ahead and get in contact with me, and until next time.